Here, there's a knock at the door. I go and open the door, and everyone's like, look, it's Santa! And you say,
ho, 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 Merry Christmas!
Welcome to the Aggressive Life. Oh, man. I don't know if I'm going to be able to enjoy the rest of my day because I have my favorite concoction here before me right now. Homemade eggnog by me. I like to say it's my personal recipe, but no, another buddy, Addison Lanier, gave it to me years ago, and he's generous enough for me to share with others. It's awesome. So I'm going to have eggnog here, my favorite way, cut with decaf, with actual Santa himself. Santa, do you like eggnog?
Of course I do. I love eggnog.
It has alcohol in it.
Even better.
Even better. All right. Yes, this is our holiday extravaganza. We've got Santa himself here right now. You've never met a man who looks more like Santa than him and totally owns it. His actual given name is Michael Gabbard, but he actually goes by Gabby Claus. Welcome to the Aggressive Life, Gabby.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here and to be able to share with you. Hey, you do know what they call people that don't believe in Santa, correct?
Idiots?
No. Agnostics. Little dad joke for you.
See what you think there, that old eggnog. Give me a little sense of it there.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Hell yeah,
that's
it real is. Good. It's amazing.
I got to say, though.
Yeah.
Brian, I'm a little disappointed.
What?
You know, if you're going to share top-notch bourbon, you know, you got a nice glass and everything like that because, you know, the flair. I'm just surprised we don't have like a Marty Moose cup here.
We should.
To be drinking this eggnog out
we
of.
Should.
This is outstanding. I'm not playing because I'm sitting here with you. This is really outstanding. And believe me, as Santa, I drink and try a lot of eggnogs. And there's some of them that, quite frankly,
Take another sip and tell me that's not the greatest eggnog you've ever had. I'm kidding around.
You're not kidding. That's delicious.
Hell yeah, it is. I mean, I keep putting on Instagram and stuff, and no, it is the greatest eggnog. And Santa Claus is chugging it down. I got more. No, I made a mistake when I made this eggnog. Let's see what mistake did I make when I made this eggnog? You might have noticed.
There are a little bit of chunks in here.
Yes.
I'm not sure what it is. And is that because of the egg maybe?
I'll tell you exactly. Right. That's exactly. That was just my first batch of the year. I was rusty. I made a mistake. Yes. So one of the things you do is you dissolve sugar inside of bourbon. That's a key ingredient. Mm-hmm. And then you have to separate the eggs out, and then you add the yolks that you beat into the sugar whiskey mix. And I didn't wait long enough. I stuck it because you have to dissolve it over the oven because you can't just stir it in. So it's simmering over the range. It's simmering and melting the sugar inside of the whiskey. And I put it in the freezer, but I was in a rush. So I thought it was cool enough, but it wasn't. So when I put the egg yolks in, some of them got cooked. So that's what you're tasting.
No, that's good. But still, this is absolutely fantastic. I love it.
It is great. We got more where that came from. Now, be careful. That's going to hit you like a sledgehammer, Santa. So I'll give you as much as you want, but just all of a sudden you're going to go, time to go to bed.
Time for a little nap.
Well, tell me how you got into being Santa Claus. You are, anyone who is not watching on YouTube or someplace else, you're the most verifiable, genuine Santa lookalike I've ever seen in my life. How'd you get into it?
Oh, I so appreciate that. So I try to do whatever I can to make it the most real and authentic as possible. And so I started back in 2012, I believe it was. And I do remember it was September. I had a big beard. I just kind of looked like a big biker kind of guy. And for some reason, I happened to think of Christmas, and I thought, you know, I bet I could do Santa Claus and kind of offset my Christmas cost. I got four kids. And so I started looking into it. I found somebody had a suit that was, I mean, it was a cheap suit, but it worked at the time. And I took a picture. I sent it to a friend of mine, and I said, hey, Photoshop my, because I was a dark redhead, which is what Santa was when he was a little boy.
Really?
Santa was a redhead, yeah.
Huh.
And so it was natural. And so I sent it to a friend of mine. I said, hey, Photoshop my beard white. I'm just kind of curious what this looks like. And when he sent it back, I said, wow, that looks real. So I thought, let's see what this looks like. And so I put it on Facebook, and I said, contact me for rates and availability. And the first year, I did 35 visits. And mostly home visits is what I do. And so I went to – I go into people's homes, either just that family or extended family or neighbors and other friends come in. And so we had 35 visits that first time. And then it just took off, and took off in a way that I never, ever imagined.
Wow.
When I first started thinking, you know, it's some kids, you're giving some presents to, and some crying babies. It's so much more than that. It's so much more that you can't even imagine the ups, the downs, the ins and outs, everything that goes into doing this, to do it right. I mean, anybody could throw on a red suit,
right,
and put a fake beard on, but this is all real. Real beard, right. Real belly.
When I was first, I think it was first grade, it was the first moment that I think I recognized that Santa wasn't real, or just cemented it for me, and it just bummed me out, is because the guy who came into first grade, he was a Santa lookalike, and I looked down at the base of his trousers and his shoes, and he just had regular black wingtip shoes on and like a black covering around the bottom of his pants to make it look like a boot.
Right.
And I'm a little first grader, and I look down and go, Santa would not
right.
be like, and it all just actually crumbled down for me. It just kind of crumbled away for me. And it really, really, really bummed me out. So when I just saw you out here in genuine Santa paraphernalia. I mean, they're just like, no, you're Santa Claus. It is. If you didn't believe and you looked at you, you go like, oh, maybe there is.
Yeah. And actually, one of the greatest compliments I've ever gotten is I've had on three occasions where somebody Jewish came up and said, you know, I'm Jewish, but you make me believe in Santa Claus. I thought, man, that's a great compliment for that. But it crosses all boundaries, crosses all age groups. It's not just for kids.
Right.
I mean, this is literally the best job in the world. There's no other job that when you walk into a room, everybody gets excited. There's no other job like that. And it's adults, it's kids, it's grandma, it's grandpa, and it's the infant. Well, not always the infant. Some of those are the screamers, but you know, they come around after a while.
Derek, we should probably have you give us a little history lesson, because I'm actually preaching on Santa this weekend. It's my day job. And I'm really fired up about it, because there's a lot of spiritual parallels I'm going to give in a whole talk versus right now. But yeah, Dirt's been helping me on researching the historicity of Kris Kringle. Why don't you fill us in on that?
Yeah, so St. Nicholas was an actual guy that lived around 300 AD in Turkey. And he lived a very privileged life as a kid, and his parents died when he was about 18. He inherited all of their wealth, and he wanted to join a monastery, so he gave all the wealth away. And one of the ways he gave it away, there was a family in town. It was a dad with three daughters. And at this time, for a daughter to get married, the father of the family needed to pay a dowry to the groom. And this family used to be very successful. They were penniless. They'd hit hard times. He did not expect his daughters were going to be able to get married. And so he wrestled with the decision to sell them into slavery, because at least they would have a roof over their head and food to eat. And he was getting ready to do that. And one night he prayed for God to intervene. He woke up the next morning and found a bag of gold had been thrown through his window. And it was enough money for the first daughter to get married and to support the family for a while. It was a miracle. The first daughter got married. Second daughter grew up. It was time for her to get married. He dared to pray again. And the same thing happened again. A bag of gold wound up, thrown in his window in the middle of the night, paid for the second girl's dowry, got her married. And when it came time for the third daughter to get married, he thought, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to stay up late. I'm going to look out this window. I'm going to figure out who's been blessing my family. And he did that. He was sitting by the window. He prayed to God, and he heard something on his roof, and a bag of gold came down through his chimney and landed in a sock that was drying over the fire. And he ran out, tried to catch whoever this person was who was blessing them, and it was the young man, Nicholas, was climbing down off of his roof, and he was crying and sobbing, like, thank you for saving my family. And Nicholas said, all this money isn't mine, it's God's. So you need to thank God. God is the one who rescued your family, saved your kids from slavery. And obviously we see that in the tradition of hanging stockings up, putting gifts in stockings.
And he's a verifiable, voted that in the Catholic Church, and he's a saint.
He's a verifiable historical figure. Now, he lived a long time ago, so where the legend ends and the history begins is a little messy.
Right,
but
right.
I love that story. There's lots of other great stories about Nicholas that point toward the Santa Claus that we know now that was actually a real person that followed Jesus and did very aggressive things.
Love it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Any of that new to you?
No, I've heard a lot of that story. I didn't know about the three daughters and that part, but knowing that it came from Turkey and some of that back history.
So when you go, you just said you have 35 gigs that you're doing this year?
No, that was the first year.
Oh, the first year?
Yeah. Last year I did over 120.
120? In what time period?
About 8 weeks.
8 weeks.
I start the first weekend in November because I'm not going to extend my season anymore. It's a big sacrifice for me, for my family. It weighs on your health a little bit.
Really, it does.
Yeah. And so I start the first week in November, and so up until Thanksgiving.
For all those losers who start celebrating Christmas before Thanksgiving?
It's with photographers that hire me to do their little Christmas minis so people can have Christmas cards. And so that brings me to Thanksgiving. I'm off on Thanksgiving, and then my next day off is Christmas Day. And so the joke at our house is my wife on Thanksgiving says, I love you, I'll see you on Christmas. Because from that point on, we're just two ships that kind of cross in the night. And I don't get home usually till 10, 11 o'clock every night. And then I'm back up doing my full-time job. And I open our rec center at 6 a.m. And then it's off to the next day.
Your rec center?
Yeah, I'm the director of recreation, technically, for the city of Norwood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I love that. It's a dream job in itself, and then I get to do this on the side, so.
Well, you can't be doing much recreation and actually make money and stand at the same time. You gotta keep the weight on, right? That's one of my questions. Like, it's pretty cool to have a job that justifies I got to keep eating a lot of food.
Well,
right?
That's the problem is I eat too many cookies. Because, you know, every house that you leave, they want to, you know, the kids want to give you a Ziploc bag of cookies or a plate of cookies or a tin of fudge. And I tell people, I'm a sugar addict as it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, unfortunately. And so I understand that addiction. So I tell people, I'm a very respectful Santa. So if you give me that plate of cookies, I'm going to eat it. I'm not going to throw it away. I'm going to eat it.
That's good stewardship.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to be kind to you. You were willing to take the time to bag that up and give it to me. I'm going to go home and eat it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
So this does not – you have an actual job too. Yeah. This isn't. I thought that you might be able to pay all your bills with this 2 months.
No. No, it's not. I mean, it's lucrative, but it's not that lucrative at all. It's not the word. This is my only job. I have a full-time job that I do year-round. And then, so I do that from 6 till 2. And then from then, and every once in a while, I can, because of my position, I can run and do something. So I might run and do a daycare for an hour and be right back and then, you know, fill that in. But then come like 3 o'clock, I start my evening visits. So through the week, Monday through Thursday, I'm doing at least 2. When I get to this last week before Christmas, I'm usually doing 3. Come Friday, I'm doing up. That gets bumped up to 4, maybe 5. And then the weekends, Saturday and Sundays, the whole time are always anywhere from 15 to 18-hour days where I leave my house at 7 o'clock in the morning and not get home till 11 or 12 at night.
I have a niece who works for Disney, and one of her roles working for Disney is Elsa from Just blanked
frozen.
On
Frozen.
Frozen, yeah, from Frozen. And one of the greatest family stories is up in Michigan, there was a bunch of snow that was dumped on them unexpectedly. And you had little nieces and nephews and grandkids that were there. And she came in for the day. She had just, I think her gig was in Hong Kong or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Nina is her name. And so she came in and she still had her costume. She had her Elsa costume. And she came in and knocked on the door, and these kids saw snow for the first time, literally snow for the first time in their life. They came from California, some of them, and there's Elsa, a literal Elsa, live and in the flesh, with her arms spread out, going, oh, whatever she was singing, blew their mind.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, it was amazing. I know some parents that take a philosophical stand, like, no, I shouldn't tell my kids about Santa. No, I'm lying. I have one relative who says the reason he doesn't believe in God is because his parents told him about Santa, and then when he found out that they lied about that, he couldn't trust him even on God. And I thought, come on, freak, wow. you're just freaking getting excuses. That's ridiculous. That's your defense.
Little, yeah. Well, I look at it as obviously Santa is, you know, he was a real person, but we use him now as a fictional character, and that delivers presents. Now, anytime and every time I can get the opportunity to share the fact that, hey, the real reason is the fact that we get to celebrate a day. It's not the specific day that Jesus was born, but it's a day that God sent his son that we can then, celebrate that time of him sending his son. So we celebrate that birth, and so anytime I get that opportunity, I will share that. And then I tell them,
awesome.
Now, Santa, I just get to be able to be the one that brings some gifts, just like the wise men brought gifts, and they shared those with Mary and Joseph and Jesus. So I get to bring gifts to you, and so I share it in that manner.
That's just great. I love that. Yeah, I tell parents— as soon as the kid asks, is there really a Santa Claus? As soon as they ask that, then just say, no. And this is why. Don't keep propagating a lie. If now it's a lie. Up to that point, it's just a nice little tradition. You're having fun, you know?
Yeah.
But don't overthink it too much. It just roll with it. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing. I still roll with it. When I watch a movie, the Santa movies, they all have the same trajectory. You've got a little kid who believes in Santa. You got one parent who humors them, and you have another parent or step-parent or someone they're dating who says, "No, no, that's ridiculous. That's horrible. That's awful." That's the situation on Miracle on 34th Street, on Tim Allen's Santa Claus. It's just kind of the thing.
Right.
And then it always ends the same with Santa being real and the unbelievers believing and me crying.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it happens all the time. Yeah. I'm like, why does this get me all the time? And I think it's because there is a spiritual through line there where all of us want to believe that there is a God who we can't see and we actually can't prove physically, but we believe he's good and he has gifts for us.
Right.
And he has us covered.
Amen.
We all that's a deep spiritual longing inside of all of us.
Yes.
And Santa is just it's a physical outpouring of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want us to lose that the deeper longing of our heart is we want to believe that there's a God who does things that are beyond the normal and who loves us and is going to bless us.
Right.
That's a biblical good in Christmas thing.
Amen. I totally agree with that. And I usually tell parents, you know, a lot of times they'll ask me, how do I share with my kid that is now at that age that he's probably going to start asking those questions? Is he really, really, and stuff like that? And I just tell them, be honest with them, but then tell them, hey, you know, we do this because it's kind of the spirit of Christmas. It's a fun part of Christmas that we can do for little kids. So now you get to be a part of this side of that, where you help encourage and build up that excitement of Santa Claus and the gifts and everything like that. And so it allows that kid that's in that transition age to not feel like, oh, the world's over. But no, now I took the next step, like kind of going into junior high from elementary school. I took that next step that I get to be part of the responsibility of helping my little brother to believe or continuing that. So it's fun as well.
Oh, that's great.
But I do get a lot of family. Since I do a lot of family, that's most of 90% of what I do is home visits. So then a lot of times when they do have that conversation, then I get often the parent will tell me, they'll be like, so who was that guy? And so they will share, you know, a friend or whatever, however we had met.
So when you do your home visit, you just knock on the door and they let you in, or how does it work?
Yeah. So they'll, I communicate with them. Sometimes they'll leave gifts outside. I put them in my bag and I bring those in, or I just knock. I bring my bells.
Making me cry.
Yeah.
Making me cry. They give you the gifts their kid wants.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh my gosh, that's beautiful.
So we put them in my bag. Some of these parents, you know, you have a big, big family, and then they get like, their parents get excited. You get excited when your kid gets excited.
All right.
So sometimes they give like too much, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to need a couple elves to come out here and help me carry this in because this
right.
is so big. But
you have elves who do that?
No, I'm telling them they're going to have to send me some elves out or something.
Right.
No, I do all this by myself. I did have a couple of my two daughters at different times used to go out with me and help, but now they have kids, and so they're busy with that, and so I just do it on my own.
If you don't mind me asking, how much do you charge for that?
$160 an hour.
$160 an hour.
And that's cheap for a real bearded salmon.
Hell yeah, it is.
They're usually like $200. But I try to make it I don't want to – this is not about money. This is about – delivering Christmas smiles. And I'm going to get emotional over this. I get the opportunity to deliver Christmas smiles. And sometimes, oftentimes a lot, more than you would think, that's during a time when somebody's in a deep valley. They're in a dark spot. And I get to come in and deliver a smile because just the presence of Santa walking in, like I said earlier, everybody gets excited. And, you know, in one case, I had a friend that I would come to their house every year. And so when we talked a couple of days later, I said, the kids were all excited and it looks like, you know, we still got them. And she's like, you know, it wasn't even about the kids this year. She said, my brother just went through a very nasty divorce. And when you walked in, he started smiling. And that meant Christmas for me. So it's those kind of things that I get to do. And even deeper than that on some of these that I've had to do, you know, I've done some end-of-life stuff where I go to Children's and, you know, the little kid doesn't even know you're there. Mm. And you're mostly there for the siblings that are in the room.
Right.
And I got to keep my composure. And like right now, you know, I can do that. I can let that out because I'm not there. But you got to keep your composure and do that. I had a family one time that I thought I did all the pictures. And they said, hey, we got one more. And they brought out a picture of their baby that they had lost earlier that year. And they want a picture with Santa.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, I got to keep myself together, keep my composure.
Oh, my gosh.
But so oftentimes I'm getting in my car from that visit and just cry to the next visit and then get my composure back. And there's something about putting this coat on. You put that coat back on, and then you're ready to go. And you can go in and start delivering more Christmas smiles. And it's the best gig in the world.
When I was in seminary, went to a very conservative seminary, and I had a lot of classmates who were obviously anti Santa Claus.
Yeah.
But also anti-Christmas tree because that's a pagan thing. And I just remember going, dudes, lighten up. Just lighten up. But I find myself not being like them, but empathizing with them a bit more in that, you know, I'll go to Christmas movies. We used to always have like a nod of one Jesus song in there or one Away in the Manger, and you'll have Christmas movies or Christmas productions. Just saw The Grinch. There's no nod at all. Right. Saw it off Broadway. There's nothing at all. And part of me just starts to get really like, what is going on here? You don't have to be a Christian to to do Christmas, but you shouldn't just stamp out the heart and the core of what Christmas is. But then I go to the other side and I go, you know what? You know, for the hardcore agnostics in our country, everyone needs something to make them feel a little better. And so if a Christless Christmas gives them the ability to smile and gives them the ability to elevate themselves, okay, so be it, right?
Right. I totally agree. The funny thing is you'll talk to people that are not believers, but they want to celebrate Christmas. Right. And so if there's a way that I can do, and like I said, I don't always have that opportunity to share my faith or share the reason for Christmas. But I am doing it through bringing a little smile, bringing a little hope, bringing a little excitement. And I think that through that way, sometimes it's just through, you know, your presence, your actions, and how you showing love. I mean, that's the whole thing. That's, you know, our Father showed us unimaginable love.
Right.
And so if I can do just a little bit of that through wearing a red suit, you know, I get the opportunity because I'm a fat guy with a white beard and a red suit.
Yeah.
I get to see things, hear things, and be a part of things that I don't get to the other 10 months of the year. The other 10 months of the year, I'm just Gabby.
Right.
But those 2 months, I get to see and hear and be a part of things that otherwise Gabby doesn't get to see. I mean, people say things to you. Kids ask you for things. You know, when you've got a 7-year-old that walks up and you ask him what they want and you're kind of excited. And he looks at you and he says, I just want my mom to be off drugs. Mm. 7 years old.
Yeah.
Or they look at you and they say, I want a cure for cancer.
Yeah.
And so those will get my heart. And then sometimes I start to get emotional. I got to get myself together.
Right.
And so then that's my immune shot.
Right.
You got one shot. You made Santa kind of start to tear up. And then, you know, that's my immune. So next kid that ends up asking, I'm okay.
Yeah.
So I had a second kid. And later on, and he says, I want a cure for cancer. And I'm like, yeah. I said, buddy, I wish I could give that. I wish that's something. But unfortunately, that's not something Santa can grant. And he stops me, and he says, oh, I know. I want you to bring me the tools so I can find it. How do you deal with that? And I literally started to pour. Mm. It happened to be one with my daughter was there, and she was given the candy cane when he left. And I'm like, here, go get your candy cane. So then my daughter comes over after he takes off running away. You know, he's 7 years old. And she comes over and she's like, Dad, what's going on? And so I share with her. She starts crying. So, yeah, you get those kind of things like that.
Gosh.
That these kids will ask and they'll catch you off guard sometimes.
Why do you think it is that so many little kids, when they come in contact with Santa, they just cry their brains out?
Well, I think it's because they trust Santa because you don't hear stories of Santa being bad. He's all about good, just like our Father. And he's somebody you can go to and feel at ease. And you can get, you know, it's like we go to him to get rest.
Yeah.
And we can rest in his love. And I think that the kids sense that they can rest in Santa.
Amen.
Yeah.
You don't work on the 26th of December?
Every once, usually.
For me?
Usually I do have a couple after Christmas where they're bigger families and they can't, like myself. I have my Christmas with my kids and my grandkids on the 27th, 2 days after, because, you know, they are able to go with their in-laws and their mom and all those kind of things.
Well, I got Christmas with all my grandkids on the 26th.
Yeah.
We're kind of the family that everybody goes to every other family for the 25th.
Right.
Which initially I thought, oh, that sucks. How come we don't get the actual Christmas? But actually works out really, really well for us because basically Christmas gets to be longer for us now.
Right.
You know, we in essence have two Christmas Eves, the actual Christmas Eve and Christmas Eve. I actually like it a lot.
Yeah, I would be honored. If that's something you'd want, I'd be
honored. I want that. And any of my kids who are listening here, you cannot tell your kids. I would love to. So I can book with you and I
absolutely
talk afterwards what time and even do the old present thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Because start crying. They're the perfect age. It'll blow their freaking minds.
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome.
It does.
Okay, so give us a little, You sound like a nice, you're a nice soft-spoken Santa. Do you have a Santa voice you do when you come in? Can you go?
I usually go with it.
You know, there you go. Yeah. So let's do this right here. Here. There's a knock at the door. I go and open the door, and everyone's like, look, it's Santa! And you say,
ho, 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 Merry Christmas.
So then, and then the kids are usually like crazy. And they're yelling, they're screaming. And then I'm like still standing there. And then I'm like, is it okay if I come in? And then so they're like, yeah. And so I usually find one of the younger ones and I'll be like, will you walk me to where I need to go? And then they'll walk me in and find a chair for me. And then I'll sit down by the chair and it's good. Now, funny. A lot of times these parents will put you in front of the fireplace, and they got the fireplace just roaring.
Oh, my gosh.
And this suit, you know, I used to be a firefighter. It's like wearing, you know, your fire gear. It is so hot. And so now you're sitting like right in front of this fireplace, and you feel like you're getting blisters on your tail end zone.
You're dead on Santa. The beard, the build, the suit, even your reader glasses, those are legit readers.
Yes.
Legit readers. Right. Down the end of your nose, then your nose a little bit redder. I mean, you're dead nuts on. You got to win Santa competitions.
Well, I don't have time to get in any competitions or anything like that. So I've done some things that have made it, you know, big and took my career, like, to another whole level that I didn't expect. And so I had a lady contact me, it was like 2017, 18, and said, she's like, hey, she sent me a thing through Messenger and said, I know this is going to sound funny, but I'm needing to book a Santa for a photo shoot. And if you could just give me a call, I'll explain everything to you. And so I call her and she says, look, I just went in and pitched to this this marketing, this company that markets, you know, images and things like that about doing a Santa thing. And they like the idea. And so they're like, you got a Santa? And she's like, no, but I'll find one. And she said, I literally came out of there, sat in my car, opened up Facebook, and there you were. And there was pictures of you with some family. And so she said, I had to message you. And so I'm like, yeah, I'd be interested. Let's talk about further about this and see what's going on. And so met with this company. We went to a little farm out in Ludlow, Kentucky. And they had like one of those old red trucks, the little old-fashioned red truck. And they had all these props and everything like that. And we spent about 10 hours. And we shot several different scenes. And so what this company does is they take and they sell that image to a Hobby Lobby, Kirkland's, Bed Bath & Beyond, all these other online companies, and they sell the image. So whoever buys that image, they can do whatever they want. So Hobby Lobby happened to have it in a frame, and so that was the first one that came out was at Hobby Lobby. And so – and you probably understand this when your first book came out, you know, and you actually go to the store and it's, wow, that's me in this national store. And so I took a picture and I posted it on my thing and I'm like, look what, you know, I found this at Hobby Lobby. And so then I start getting family members from all across the nation. I went to my Hobby Lobby, look, I got mine, and look, I got mine. And so then they were in the Christmas tree shop, and then they were on Bed Bath & Beyond and Kirkland's and all these. It was just crazy. And so people are then take it to that next level and they want you to meet up with them and have you sign it. And that was just that was pretty odd for me to be, you know, oh my gosh, this is really cool. But I even look at these images still yet. My wife has some of them that she puts out. I try to make her keep them up all year long, but she won't. But I look at them and I'm like, that's just unbelievable how real that really does look. And I can't believe that's me. But so that just, I mean, exploded. And then I started doing before that, my first big gig was being selected to do the tree lighting on Fountain Square. Oh. And so this was my 12th year of being the Santa on Fountain Square when they do the big tree lighting. And then for 2 years, I did the tree lighting for Newport on Levee, where they flew me in on a helicopter. Very, very cool.
Wow.
A friend of mine actually happened to be the pilot that they had got with. And so he calls me one day, and I hadn't talked to him in about 6 months or so. And he calls, And I answered the phone, and he's like, hey. And I'm like, hey, Tony, how you doing? He's like, how much you weigh? I said, well, that's kind of an interesting question to ask. I can talk to you in 6 months. He says, no. He said, check this date. And I checked. I could do it. And so we flew in and landed down on the riverbank. And then I walk up to do the tree lighting at Newport on Levee, which was just – that was really cool flying in the helicopter. But and then I just got so big that they changed management, and they didn't get with me in time. If you don't book me early, like September or summertime, you're not getting a spot. Wow. And as a matter of fact, a lot of my families that I've been doing for 10 years plus now, they've got me booked out to 2030. So it's like every first Saturday at 6 o'clock is our day, and they just got it booked out.
Well, unless you drop the ball on 26, I'm going to do the same thing. I'll take the 26th every year.
All right. That sounds like a great idea.
It's going to be so awesome. How jealous are you right now, Dirk?
I'm so jealous.
Do you wish you were my grandson?
Yes.
Do you wish you do?
Always.
You're about the size of my grandson, actually. You're a very, very spindly man. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. That's why for the last 2 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions, at home, on a hunting trip, camping off my motorcycle, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to get moving. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. I like to have it in the morning. I have a 12 ounce of water, so right off the bat, I'm helping my hydration every single morning. This is the one product, if I had to recommend one, I'd recommend this one to elevate your health. It's AG1, and that's why I partnered with them for 2 years. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/aggressivelife. That's drinkag1.com/aggressivelife. Get yourself some. So you've been doing this for how long now, Gabby?
This is my 13th year.
Do you notice any differences in families or kids or culture as Santa now versus 13 years ago?
No, not really, not much. It's that spirit of Christmas, that spirit of Santa, pretty much stays. Has been a steady line through. Just the gifts, get a little bit more outlandish sometimes, depending on where you're at. If I'm at a country club, they're asking to go back to Hawaii, or they're asking for a $100 bill or something like that. These are 8-year-olds, if I'm at Washington Park, they might be asking for a pair of shoes or for a coat or a Hot Wheel, not Hot Wheels. A Hot Wheel, or something like that. I do 3CDC is who hires me to do the tree lighting, and then I always do at least one appearance in the parks. And so I always try to do Washington Park the weekend before, and you get the whole spectrum of people. You get those inner city kids that are able to come by and get their picture taken with Santa because there's no way they could afford to go to a mall or have Santa come to their home.
Right.
And then you get the rich kids, and kids that are dressed in the nines going to music hall for a show or something like that. And then you get the dog park there, and people bring their dogs over and get their picture with their baby,
Yep, right.
And so you get everything down there. So that's kind of a one that I always look forward to as well.
It must be pretty cool to have a cross-cultural experience like that as you do as Santa and see the best of people.
Yeah.
Because people are happy, right? They're positive, they're encouraging, all that stuff.
Yeah. Once I transformed, the beginning of November, when I transformed, because I still got, a lot of little red streaks. It's getting pretty close to being naturally white and stuff. So I have a stylist that does this.
Oh, she whites it out for you totally.
Yeah, and really. And
your hair too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She brightens it all up. My eyebrows, everything is done like that. Yeah, so it's you got to pay attention to detail. And so as you're doing that transformation, once that's done, you're Santa. Mm-hmm. And you're Santa 24/7 anytime I'm outside my house. So if I step out my door and somebody drives by, you're going to hear them holler, Santa. If I'm at the gas pump, people will stop and want to do a selfie to show their grandkid who they just saw. And you're in Kroger and stuff like that. And it's difficult because, and I already told you kind of how I'm going till, you know, I open my rec center at quarter to 6 in the morning, and then I'm not getting home till 10, 11, 12 o'clock, and then you need to eat a little something and then kind of decompress from what you just went through,
right.
And then you're right back up and at it. So it's go, 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 go.
Sheesh.
You get exhausted. So time I get to Christmas, you almost hate kids for a little bit of time.
Yeah, right.
It's you're exhausted. So I have to constantly make sure that I know I'm on stage. And I'm Santa, regardless of how I feel, how exhausted I am. I'll give you an example. Every year I go down to UC, just last Thursday, I go down to UC Hospital to the NICU unit with the preemie babies. Mm. These babies are not much bigger than the palm of your hand that you're holding in your hand.
Right.
And the ones that are able to come out of the isolette will put a clean towel over me, and I hold that baby to be able to take a picture for mom and dad. For a brief moment, it gives them some normalcy. Mm. And so it's a very – a lot of these, you know, it's just you just take for granted you're going in, you're delivering the gifts. Right. But there's ones like that that, I mean, you're just giving a little bit of normalcy to that parent. So I'd been going all day, just done that. So now I'm emotionally, because you got twins, you're doing all these skins. And then from there, I go in another room with the siblings of the babies so they can kind of get some normalcy, and I give them gifts and help those realize that, hey, even though your little brother is there and getting all the attention, you're still loved and all that. So do that. So I'm emotionally drained. I'm emotionally empty. And my Santa suit is in my bag that I pull behind. And I get to the garage, and I'm waiting on the elevator. And the lady walks up behind me, and she's like, wow, if you had a red suit on, you'd be a dead ringer for Santa. Now, I'm emotionally drained. I'm exhausted. And I want to say, no kidding. You know?
Right.
That's original.
Right, right.
But you can. So I turned around and I said, yeah. I said, that's what's actually been in my bag. I said, I was just visiting the preemie babies up there and visiting with them and some of their little siblings. She's like, oh. She's like, I got a wish for Santa. I'm like, what's that? She said, oh, here we go again. She says that my husband would know it's okay to go. And I said, okay to go. I thought I knew what she meant, but I just want to confirm it. She said, yeah, he's in hospice. He's at that stage. And I just want him to know it's okay. I'm okay with it. It's okay for him to go. And I said, ma'am, that's not something I can grant. But I can't pray for you. Mm. And in a cold, dirty garage, I cried my eyes out. Mm. Praying for that lady to get peace for herself and her husband.
Yeah.
For her husband to have that peace that it's okay to go. Mm. And so when you're at your max, you know, and you have to, like, the five marks of a man, you got to take that minority position and just be like, look, this is not about me being this ultra Santa Claus that gets to do all these things and everybody wants me. That's not what this is about.
Yeah.
I try to really take that minority position and say, this is about showing you some love and praying for you if need be in a dirty old garage and weeping the rest of the way home, you know, thinking about what's going on there.
This is a ministry for you.
Oh, that's absolutely a ministry. I tell people that. This is my ministry, that I get to deliver Christmas smiles.
Was there a moment where that gear clicked in for you? Like, I would think that you started off standing in for a role that somebody needed to fulfill a Santa because you had the physical prerequisites. But at some point, it had to transfer into a more of a spiritual activity for you. Can you identify when that shift started to take place?
I don't know that it was that particular. I became a follower and accepted Jesus at an early age and then rededicated that in high school. Okay. And then went to Bible college. Particular church I was at, kind of like what you said, a seminary, which is sometimes
same thing. Right, yeah. Yes.
It was an independent Baptist. They started their own college because they wanted to be able to educate men to go into ministry. But a lot of them had careers and couldn't just go. And so I got into that, did that. Same time, I'm you know, becoming a paramedic at the time. And so all these avenues that I've taken of serving others. I was an EMT for 3 years. I was a paramedic for 26 plus years. I was a firefighter for 12 years. I was a police officer for four. Mm-hmm. I was a city council person in Norwood for just shy of 10 years. I work for the city now as a rec director. All these avenues of service, that's just my heart, is I love to serve others. And what better way to do that than to be Santa Claus and be able to go and show love, show some excitement, and share some joy.
Yeah, that's
amazing. So I didn't really have that. Other than the fact that, you know, my dad was my greatest role model and the fact that he was a huge giver. And so I watched him kind of be Santa Claus to a lot of people. You know, I watched him fold up a $100 bill and shake somebody's hand that needed it or give cars away. Or it was not uncommon for our house to wake up and come downstairs and somebody be sleeping on our couch. I've gone with my dad to pick up family members and brought them theirs because their heat got turned off and they stayed with us. And my dad went and paid their bill. After my dad passed away, I'm the most giving man I've ever could imagine. And after he passed away, so many people came through the line at the funeral home talking about stories like that. And one story that I found out is my brother, we were always good athletes. He was an elite athlete. And he played at UC baseball and went on to play in the minors a couple of years. But one of his select teams, the sponsor backed out, last minute backed out. My dad paid for all the uniforms, league fees, everything, and made him keep that other sponsor's name on it, and nobody was to know. Right. And we didn't find out till afterwards. And so that example coming into this, and so I'm like, that just kind of transfers over, really. As I look back now, it wasn't a conscious thing, but I look back now, and I find myself doing that same thing. I find myself folding the same bill up and shaking somebody's hand and giving it to them like that. But being in this position as Santa, because I'm constantly doing that all the time, but in this position, it just gets multiplied.
Right. That is, and that's just a different level you're operating on. You know, you're not filling a role. You are acting in an identity.
Yeah,
an identity of a son of God who's meant to be in the family business, and that family business is blessing people and loving people. It's really good.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, last question for you here. I'm curious, what outages do you think that we want some more eggnog, by the way? I have a little more if you want some more, but you got to be careful.
Yeah, I'll take a little bit more. Not much.
Okay, I will too. Okay, I will too. Again, my favorite is cutting it with coffee.
Oh,
I don't have any more coffee, but there we go. So
that's good.
All right.
Let me share you a real quick story. It just happened. I have six grandkids. The two oldest are seven. So the second grandchild, my daughter sends me a text and says, hey, Knox wants an elf. She's going to write you a letter to ask you for it. I'm like, all right. She said, it'll be in your mailbox. So they live close.
Yeah.
So I get up the next morning. I look. There's a handwritten note from my 7-year-old granddaughter. And she says, Dear Santa. Now, we tell the older ones because they're old enough to understand. They start getting confused at a certain age. Right now, the next ones are 2.5. So they're getting close to that. So we told them, hey, I'm Santa's helper. So, but the other kids think that I'm really Santa. So you can't call me Papaw when they're around. If you see other kids around, you can't call me Papaw. You got to call me Santa. They think that's the coolest thing in the world because it's their little secret.
Right.
And so, but she addresses this letter as Dear Santa. She says, I think I'm old enough. I would really like to have an elf come to my house if you would, you know, be so kind to do so. And I would take good care of it. Love, Knox. So I text my daughter. I'm like, you do got an elf, right? So I text my daughter again. And I said, hey, Knox, I just want to let you know I got your letter, and I talked to my chief elf who assigns all the elves that get sent out, and he's going to be sending one to your house, so be on the lookout. Love, Papaw, or Santa. So I got to thinking about that, and it impacted me because her Papaw is Santa Claus. She wanted something, and she knew who to go to ask, hey, can you get this for me, or can you get to whoever needs to? And it made me think, do others look at me when they have a need,
a
spiritual need, when they have a hurt? Do they know that I know a guy that can help them and mend their heart? Mm-hmm. And so that parallel, that example that she gave to me as to the way my heart has to be every day, mm-hmm. not just Santa time,
yes.
but every time that other people would see me and say, if I need something from God, I know I could go to that guy. He could connect me.
Right.
That's where I want to be. So it's even that I get. I get more blessing out of this, Brian, than I could ever get. I know I get to give a lot of joy, but I get that a million times back, more than I could ever give.
Yeah. All right, last question.
Okay.
How do we, since you're a guru of Christmas, you're around it more often than we are deeper in it, is there any final tips for how we might squeeze the most joy out of Christmas before it actually happens?
Putting yourself last, you know, putting others first. If you can just realize that although somebody's got a smile on their face, doesn't mean their heart's not in a dark valley. And so just showing some love. And if it needs to be a little extra love through the season, do so. Mm. One of my very, very good friends, husband committed suicide Thanksgiving night. I go to her house every Christmas for a party. It was already scheduled. She's one of the ones that's got me booked out. So I called her and I said, hey, I'm still coming. So I still went, and we prayed. And we talked, and we still took pictures with her and her daughter, and because they needed that small little bit of normalcy
right.
at a time that was, you talk about a deep valley.
Jeez.
But I was able to do that for them. So if you can do that through the season and just let that extend on to where you're just putting others first and saying, hey, look, this is not about me. This is about what can I do for you? Is there a family that maybe needs? Maybe there's a senior that you could check on, knock on the door, give them a card, give them a meal, or just the fact that you took time to check on them just, hey, I just want to see how you're doing. Yeah. That means a world to people, and they just want to feel loved. And so if we could show love, that would be my thing, is putting others first and yourself at the end of the line.
Gabby Claus, this has been a phenomenal time with you. I wasn't expecting the level of depth that we've gone to. I wasn't expecting your personal depth. It just makes me so happy that somebody is exemplifying Christmas with the spirit of Christ and the right attitude, demeanor, and joy level and all that stuff. What a great ministry you have. Well done, brother. Really, really good.
I appreciate that. That's not why I do it. It's for the praise. I do it for the money. And no, I'm just kidding. It's not that at all. As you can tell, I have a heart. Matter of fact, I have another. There's another Santa out there that I mentored. And he's got a great bit. I was able to feed him, and man, he is really taken off as well. Great, great guy. But when he first came to me and he said, hey, I want to do this. Hey, can you kind of mentor me and show me? I said, let's go to lunch, because I want to see what his heart was like. I didn't want him to do this just for the money. I want him to have the right heart of, hey, this is not something to be taken lightly. And so he's done a great, great job, and I'm proud of where he's at this point and what he's done with it, and it's been a lot of fun. But
that's awesome. Hey, is there any, if someone wants to track your work / ministry, follow up with you, is there any advertisement for a Facebook account, social media, website? If you got anything like that, now's your time.
All right. Facebook, it's Gabby Claus, just GABBYCLAUS. You'll see my picture. On Instagram, it's at Gabby Claus. And at the Gabby Claus, I think, at the Gabby Claus. I don't know. I'm terrible at my social media. I need to be more in tapped with that, because a lot of people have been asking about it.
Santa's got to get with the times, man.
And I get that, you know, when I'm at a coffee shop, I do a lot of Big B's. I do some boutiques and all these. And I'll usually ask people, hey, how'd you find out about me? And sometimes it's through the advertisement of where I'm at. But a lot of times they're like, hey, I follow you on your page. And one of those NICU babies, every year, they find me somewhere and they'll come up and they'll be, hey, you remember us? I'm like, yeah, I do. And so now he's like 6 years old.
Wow.
And so every year they come and find me so they can get a picture of when I held him and he was barely two hands full. Wow. And it's awesome.
Awesome. Well, we always say, I like to say at the end of a podcast, hey, do something with this. I don't think that very many of us are going to go and be Santa, but I'll tell you what, we all can go and have the spirit of Santa, or specifically the spirit of Jesus.
Yes.
And love people.
Absolutely.
Bless people. Serve people. Be about other people this Christmas instead of maybe lamenting how your life isn't perfect.
Right.
That's a good thing. Hey, we'll see you next time on The Aggressive Life.
Ho, ho, ho!
Thanks for joining us on this journey toward aggressive living. Find more resources, articles, past episodes, and more at bryantome.com. My new book, a 60-day devotional called The 5 Marks of a Man, 60 Days to a Powerful Life, along with all the other books in the 5 Marks library, are open right now on Amazon. Be sure to leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Then send an email to dirt@bryantome.com to get a free Aggressive Life sticker. Find more on Instagram at bryantome. The Aggressive Life is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.